God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good. Let's lean into our metaphor for this Easter to Remember series. For our purposes, the word remember is the antonym of dismember. So if you dismember, you tear something apart. If you remember, you put something back together. Let's get our bearing, because I always want you to know resurrection happened in real time. The Bible's not a fairy tale that happened once upon a time in a land far away. These are places that we go. These are places that exist today. So let's get our bearings. Here we are. This was not taken this morning. We're going to pull that back. We're going to head across the Atlantic, over the Mediterranean and Africa. We are going to land in the region of the Dead Sea. Jesus is down here for 6 months before Holy Week. He pushes up into Jericho. From Jericho, he is joined by a huge delegation who sort of march on Jerusalem. They go to the Mount of Olives, down into the Kidron Valley, up to the Temple Mount, which is where Palm Sunday happens. The first part of Holy Week happens here. The crucifixion is going to happen just outside the ancient city gates. I've shown you the Garden Tomb, Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's somewhere right in there. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus was the hope of desperate people. The oppressed, the diseased, the outcast, the afflicted. These are the people who flocked to Jesus. By now, Jesus had taught, healed, and fed tens of thousands of people across Galilee, Judea, and the surrounding regions. By the time we get to Holy Week, there's probably very few people in Israel who had not encountered Jesus, heard of Jesus, been healed by Jesus, or didn't know someone who had been. Jesus remembered dismembered people, and they loved him for it. The news of his crucifixion had to be a bitter day all over Israel. Love had died, and its personification was hastily whisked off of a cross, wrapped in linen, and placed in a tomb before the sun went down on Friday to begin the Jewish Sabbath. The Sabbath didn't end until Sunday morning, and when the sun came up, some of the female disciples of Jesus headed to the tomb. They wanted to properly treat his body because they didn't have time to do that before the Sabbath. They're asking only one question, and the question is not, has he risen? The question is, who is going to roll away the stone? Whatever happens, these disciples of Jesus didn't see it coming. When they finally arrived at the tomb, the stone had already been rolled away, and they are informed of two things. Number one, Jesus isn't here. Well, that's one matter. It's easy to move a dead body. But the other thing is that he has risen. He was dead, and now he's not dead. That's something else entirely. And then he said to the women disciples, "Don't you remember?" Remembering is a ministry that Jesus modeled, and remembering is what the church is called to do. The Church of Jesus Christ must be a place where dismembered people are welcomed for the purpose of being remembered. I'm going to introduce you to some people that the gospel writer Luke describes. These are people who lived in his day in real time, and they're people just like us. And we're going to see ourselves and those we love in their stories. And in their eyes. He was a military officer of some esteem, and he had a treasured servant, a servant about which he truly cared, who was about to die. You see, while a lot of Roman soldiers oppressed the Jews during the occupation, this officer had built excellent relations with the community. He believed in the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he believed in the power of Jesus. He'd even financed a synagogue. He was a good man, but even good people are sometimes in bad places. And he had sent a delegation to Capernaum, which was Jesus' headquarters, to ask if Jesus would accompany them back to his house for the purpose of healing his servant. Jesus went. And while they're on the way, they're met by a second delegation. And the second delegation has a message for Jesus. Our master said, there's no need for you to come all the way to the house, because if you just say the word, his servant will be healed. And Jesus was amazed at his faith. And by the time everybody made it back home, the servant had fully recovered. Maybe you are a committed Christian and your heart is breaking for others today. I just want to tell you that Jesus remembers good people with heavy hearts. She was a woman without a husband, without rights, without legal protection, without financial resources, without power. All she had was a son, and today was his funeral. For her, this was the worst day in a life filled with worse days. Jesus had to stop as he entered the village of Nain to allow the procession to go by. As Jesus was watching, his heart was filled with compassion, and then he spotted her. Jesus always had a way of spotting the people no one else would see. Her agony and her grief filled the space around them. And Jesus approached her and he said, "Don't cry." And then he did something utterly remarkable. He commanded the boy to get up. And all of a sudden, life comes to a dead body. And the boy got up. Are you dealing with the devastating effects of death and loss today? I just want you to know that Jesus remembers those who mourn. He was an outcast. Jewish people feared lepers like we fear those who have become what we know we easily could become. They feared lepers the way that drunks fear alcoholics and users fear addicts. A leper could come from any class of society, but there was a stigma attached to leprosy. You see, back in those days, people thought you got what you deserved. So if you were stricken with the worst of all diseases, the implication was that you were a horrible person. This is a man who had lost everything. He'd lost his family, he'd lost his job, he had lost his home, he had lost his reputation. This is a guy who had lost everything. He was forced to live on the margins of society. Now, when he saw Jesus, by law, he was required to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" And that meant, "Stay away from me." It meant, "I am diseased." It meant, "Do not touch me because you may get what I have." But he didn't do that at all. You see, this was a desperate man. And instead of yelling "unclean," he ran to Jesus. He got on his knees before him. And he said, if you want to, you can heal me. And Jesus said, "I want to." And all of a sudden, the leprosy that defined his life was just gone. He could go home again. Do you feel unwelcome, marginalized, or rejected today? I just want you to know that Jesus remembers even those everyone else wishes would just go away. His name was Legion. He was naked and out of his mind. He was violent and he was homeless. He was tormented and he was a tormentor. He lived among the Gentiles and the tombs and the pigs. Had he lived in America 50 years ago, Legion would have been in a mental institution. If he lived in America today, Legion would have been in and out of jail and homelessness. When Jesus got out of a boat on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Legion approached him, not to harm him, not to heal him, but to plead with Jesus. You see, all these demons that somehow filled this wretched man, these demons were scared to death at the sight of Jesus. The man who prompted fear in the hearts of everyone who saw him, was scared to death at the sight of Jesus. Legion did not ask to be delivered or set free. He did not have the capacity to do so. There just wasn't enough of the man left. But sometimes Jesus knows what we need and he doesn't wait for an invitation. He cast the demons into a herd of pigs who summarily hurled themselves into the sea and drowned. And what remained was a sane man who found his clothes and put them on, who was quiet and settled. The man formerly known as Legion wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, "No, I've got a better task for you. Go resume your life. Go live among your family, and every time they see you, you will be a living testimony to the power of God. Do you struggle daily to keep your irrationalities and your fears and your unsteady emotions from overwhelming you? I just want to tell you that Jesus remembers those who are controlled even by forces they cannot overcome." He was paralyzed. Perhaps he'd been on the construction crew building a city like Tiberias or Sepphoris in the Galilee. You see, the Romans liked to build their cities high, and there were no safety regulations in those days, and frankly, workers were easily replaceable. Common laborers were thrust into the sky on makeshift scaffolding, and sometimes it collapsed, and sometimes workers fell. Sometimes the workers died, but this man was not so lucky. Whatever he once had been was robbed from him, and now this man was a prisoner in his own body. He had no way to support his family, but he did have friends, friends who were willing to actually do something. When they heard that Jesus was in town and he was speaking at a certain place, there wasn't room to bring the man to Jesus. So they somehow took the guy's mat and they took him up on the roof and they pulled back the thatch and they lowered this guy to Jesus. Now, if you'd been in the building, there would have been stuff falling on your head. You would have been yelling at these people, "Beat it, go away, stop it." They didn't care. They had a friend that they loved, and they felt like he had a chance to get his life back, and they lower him down, and Jesus sees him, and he does something remarkable. He forgives his sins, and then he commands him to walk, and all of a sudden, a dead spinal cord begins to renew, and feeling comes back into his hands and into his legs. And the Bible says the man jumped to his feet, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Do you understand what happened? This guy got his life back. Has your life, as you know it, been taken from you? Jesus remembers even those who have lost everything. She was a sinful woman, quite possibly a high-end prostitute. But she was drawn to Jesus. There were many things she had wrong, but she had one thing right. She had a heart for worship. While Jesus was being rudely treated at a banquet held by a religious leader, this woman of nefarious reputation approached Jesus. She carried a jar that was full of perfume. As long as that jar was sealed, it had a set value. But the moment she broke the seal and took the lid off, it became valueless, and the scent would have absolutely overwhelmed. The scent of oil and foreign and expensive spices would have absolutely overcome the room. Everybody is looking at her. Her face is streaked with her own tears. Her heart is too heavy to breathe. Her sins are too many to number. Her grief is too great to bear. And now this broken human being, this broken woman, gets on her knees before Jesus and pours perfume on his feet and wipes it with her hair. Awkward, to say the least. Everybody castigates her for making a scene at a public, respectable place. But Jesus, he just forgives her sins and sends her out in the peace of his presence. Are you engulfed in the agony of your own bad decisions, your weaknesses, and your failures? I just want to tell you that Jesus remembers even those whose pain is self-inflicted. His name was Bartimaeus. He was blind and he lived in Jericho. His world was one of darkness. And on a day that seemed remarkably like every other day, he heard a large crowd coming out of the southern deserts on the Jerusalem road. He asked, what's going on? What's all the commotion? They said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming to town. Jesus, who is he? You don't know Jesus. He's a teacher. He's a rabbi. You don't know Jesus. He's a deliverer, a Messiah, a healer. I'm guessing it sounded a lot like this to Bartimaeus. Wah, 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 healer. There you go. Bartimaeus was blind, but he had not given up on his life. And he shouted above the masses, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody around him said, shut up. You're making us look bad. You're embarrassing us. Bartimaeus is thinking, none of these people like me anyway. Jesus, Son of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And then Jesus saw him. My guess is he heard him first. And he walks up to Bartimaeus and he asks him an incredible question. What do you want me to do for you? You see, Jesus didn't just assume. There are a lot of people today who like living in darkness. And Bartimaeus said that I might see. And Jesus said, then see. Your faith has healed you. And all of a sudden, dead eyes begin to renew. And Bartimaeus, whose life was defined by darkness, suddenly had a light in his eyes and in his heart. Maybe you're sick and tired of living in darkness. Jesus remembers those who refuse to give up on hope. His name was Levi. He was a pariah of the worst kind. He was in a profession where men got rich from betraying and cheating and exploiting their neighbors. He was a Jew collecting taxes for the occupying Romans, and everybody hated him for it. Jesus was always calling people out, but let's be honest, he normally called out the preachers. But on this day, he said, Levi. And all of a sudden, this tax collector that everyone hates looks at Jesus. And people are finally thinking, wow, Jesus, you finally are calling out the right people. You finally seem to understand who the bad guys are. He calls to Levi. But what he says is extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. You see, Jesus doesn't humiliate Levi. He doesn't rebuke Levi. He doesn't deliver him from the demons of greed and exploitation. Jesus asked Levi to become his disciple. I bet there wasn't a bit of air in the room. Still stunned, Levi holds a banquet in Jesus' honor. He resigns his commission. He leaves absolutely everything he knows to begin a new life in Christ. When the upright and uptight voiced their opposition to Jesus' selection of his disciples, Jesus reminded them, I have come to call sinners to repentance. People like Levi are exactly why God sent me here. Do you have a sense that God has more for you than what you're living? I just want to tell you, Jesus remembers those who dare to dream that their lives could actually matter. Her name was Mary of Magdala. She had a past. Luke tells us Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. That's a past to the 7th power. Mary was addicted and afflicted. Mary was used and abused. She had rejected her faith. She had burned her bridges. She had broken the hearts of everyone who had ever loved her. Mary in Magdala was a cautionary tale. Don't be like Mary. And then one day Jesus just happened by and he cast all 7 demons out of her. Jesus was just like that. And all of a sudden she was whole. But it doesn't mean she had a home to return to. With no home to welcome her, no understanding of love that did not harm, no sense of joy that did not destroy, Mary made an incredible choice. She made the disciples her family, and she made Jesus her home. Mary is listed first in every register of the female disciples that the Gospels have to offer. She is the first person entrusted with the good news that Christ is risen. Has your wrecked life become a cautionary tale? Mary reminds us that Jesus remembers and restores those the world considers too far gone. He was a scourge, a violent extremist, a thief, a zealot, and he was hanging on a cross. And next to him was Jesus of Nazareth. And next to Jesus was another man just like him. The pain is excruciating. He will not be long in this life. He somehow knows that he's a sinner. And he somehow understands that death is a fair price to pay for his crimes against humanity. But on this day, God offers the most undeserving man in the world something he never could have seen coming. Redemption. Redemption. Pure and simple. Well, the other counterpart on the cross mocked Jesus. This condemned man proclaimed, "We deserve to die." But this man, this Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And he turns to Jesus, and in the last moments of a life that only destroyed, he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Do you think there's no hope for you? My friends, if you're alive, you still got a shot. Jesus remembers those who haven't even got a prayer. Jesus did something incredible for each of these desperate people. He healed them, he forgave them, he restored them, he remembered them. You see, they were not saved because of what they did. They were saved because of who they met. We're all dismembered in one way or the other, despite the fact we all look so absolutely sensational this morning. But are we desperate? I don't mean inconvenienced or bit set back or slightly depressed or moderately irritated. We're all those things. And if you're not, just get on social media. You will be soon. The question is, are you desperate enough to take a chance on Jesus? Are you desperate enough to give Jesus a shot? I want to suggest Jesus is walking through this house right now. Right now. And we have a choice. We can either run to him. We can either yell, "Jesus, Son of Nazareth, Son of David, have mercy on me," or we can just let him pass right on by. But if you ran to him, if you called to him, and if Jesus turned to you this morning, and if he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" How would you answer? What one thing would Jesus need to do in your life to remember you? Whatever it is, just ask him. Because he can do it. That's what we celebrate on Easter, is that Jesus is more than able to do abundantly above anything we could ever hope or ask. Whatever it is you need remembered in your life, Jesus can do it. He defeated death. What's that process? I think there's four steps. Number one, we need to repent of our sin. This isn't some self-righteous imperative. This is just because you can't fill a full glass. We need to pour everything out of our lives that has dismembered us. And when we repent of our sins, we are now at a place that we can invite Jesus into our lives. Pour out the bad, ask God to pour in the good. Number three, receive his restoration. You see, Jesus restores people when we actually encounter him. When we come face to face with him, we can receive that restoration. There are a lot of people who know Jesus as their Savior, but they need to turn to Jesus as their rememberer and their empowerer. And number four, we just need to live in his power. Did you know you don't have to live in constant drama and defeat? You know you don't have to get beat up every single day and then try it again tomorrow? You know there's more hope in this world than knowing that today is hard and tomorrow you're going to die? Do you know that God actually has something for you? That no matter where you've been and no matter what you have done, that you are loved by God? That's what resurrection is all about. We're going to have a prayer that we're going to pray together. And I've got three groups of people I'd just like to focus on. First of all, for those of you who are just dismembered, you just got pain in your life. I want you to know that Jesus wants to touch that. And as we pray, I invite you to receive that. Secondly, there may be people here who've just never truly encountered Jesus for yourself. You may have had religion shoved down your throat your whole life. You may know all about Jesus, but you've never truly asked Jesus to fill your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we pray. Just receive him for that first time. And thirdly, maybe you know you're a Christian, but you know that your fire is just flickering right now. You know that you are nowhere near the person that God wants you to be. And I want to give you an opportunity just to say, Jesus, I'm back. I'm back. We're going to pray together. Open up your heart and be remembered. Let's pray. God of life and salvation, thank you for your relentless love. I wasn't looking for you, but you found me. Thank you. Jesus, enter my life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your presence. I receive your restoration. I receive your power. Remember me. In the strong name of our risen Christ, amen.